Good evening. A lot of faces tonight. Y'all didn't get the memo, did you? But I'm the one teaching. No. Thank you for coming out tonight. Aren't you all getting sick of this crazy dark world we live in? It's getting hard. I mean, what we have here is such a joy and such a blessing. But, you know, we got to go out into the world, right? And makes it tough. It is making it tough. But I tell you, I think we're getting closer, right? Closer to that day, that glorious day. So let me just say a prayer, so it'll help me calm down a little bit. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much again for all you do for us, Lord, the blessings you give us, Lord, and this time of fellowship to come together. Lord, I just ask that you speak through me, Lord. Help these words are not my words. They are from you to everyone in here. I'm just the one moving the mouth. So, Lord, I just pray that you touch all our hearts. Help us to understand these truths that we're going to talk about tonight. Bless those who aren't with us tonight. And just bless our time and our fellowship together. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, all right. So tonight we're going to talk about discernment and the church's responsibility with discernment. I got a ton of things. Basically, you know, we never really know. I mean, we kind of have a little heads up when Conrad's going to be gone and filling up here on Wednesday. But basically what I typically will do is just whatever God's working in my life at the time, in my, you know, my own studies or things I'm struggling with, is what I usually speak on up here on the times when we can go. And so, you know, and those of you who are in our Sunday school class, which, by the way, if you're not in a Sunday small group, I called it the wrong thing, Sunday small groups, get to one. We have such a blessed teaching ministry here at all ages. It doesn't matter what your age. It's such a blessing. And I think that's really where we are growing so much. And I think all you guys agree with that, too. That's not really a stretch. We know that's how we grow. But so Sunday mornings, we're in Hebrews in our class, and discernment, we got to, I think it was chapter 2, and I, like I said, I've been going through this. There's a lot. I mean, we all face the same thing. Decisions, right? We have to make so many decisions throughout the day. Some more than others. At different seasons, we make more decisions than other seasons we're in. And so, you know, we certainly always want to make those with a biblical worldview, right? So anyway, we got to that part of Hebrews, and I started looking into the, you know, discernment and studying it out. So we already talked a little bit about it. So if you're in my Sunday small group class, you'll get a little bonus tonight. It's a little different because we looked at that from the Hebrew Jewish perspective. Tonight we're just going to kind of cover rapid fire everywhere that discernment is called in the Bible, called out in the Bible and in the scriptures, and why we should do it. So. And certainly more from a church perspective, okay? I mean, personally, obviously, we are making many decisions throughout the day that have such impacts in our lives and other people's lives. But this, you know, we'll look at this too predominantly from a church perspective as well. So what is discernment? What is biblical discernment? It's the God-given ability to distinguish truth from error and right from wrong. Pretty simple, right? But, you know, this is so important in this culture we live in today, right? I mean, I know every generation says the generation was as bad, and, you know, it does feel like it's getting worse. But, you know, technology has a lot to do with that. But certainly the call to proper biblical discernment is so important now. And so anyway, so we'll go through this, you know, and how we can apply it to our lives. So in Scripture, discernment is closely tied to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The concept appears frequently. The noun discernment, it occurs 11 times in the NASB translation. And then related terms like discerning, it's actually over 40 times in the Bible. So mostly it in context stressing insight, prudence, and godly judgment, which again makes sense. God's word emphasizes our need for discernment. So why is discernment so crucial? So because we live in a world so full of spiritual deception, Jesus and the apostles constantly warned that false prophets and the false teachings would abound. That's from Matthew 7:15, 24:11, and 1 Timothy 4:1. Satan himself is a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44, and often disguises himself as what? The angel of light, right? When he tempted Eve, he didn't tempt her because of her sin. He tempted her because she wanted to be close to God, right? In a noble way at that. And so Satan used that to coerce her. So anyway, promoting ideas that sound true or spiritual but are actually false. The only remedy for deception is God's truth, because discernment is produced by the knowledge of truth. So tonight we'll talk about the church's responsibility for discernment. We'll define biblical discernment, look at its theological foundations and its historical examples a little bit, and then we'll apply these principles to our daily lives, and how discernment should guide our thoughts, actions, and decisions as believers. Okay, so the first thing here that I want to hit is the church as the pillar of truth. And that's really what we got to look at it that way, right? And we all know that not all churches are the same, right? We know that, certainly. And obviously being the pillar of truth, and that's God's mandate, that's God's plan. So you have all these other churches that are not that pillar and are not are teaching false gospel, false teaching. You're going to have a poor foundation, right? So that's why it's so important. So in 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul gives a defining description of the church, the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Right there, says it right there, plain as day. This teaches that that the church is meant to hold up and defend God's truth in the world. Just as a pillar upholds a structure, the church upholds the truth of the gospel and God's word. So again, when people tell you you're intolerant for not embracing their view, that's evil, right? I mean, we have to stand strong in that and know what we believe. That's why discernment's so important, so you know what you believe. You know, a lot of the ministry God's put on my heart for many, many years, that it's a passion for, you know, equipping the saints and teaching and building Christian leaders, has been my calling, I believe, for a long time through discernment. But, you know, to have someone that you're close with, somebody in our church, that if times get tough, no matter what it is, could be local to them, could be, you know, another pandemic or something, that we don't want believers to make a bad choice, right? Immoral choice. So it's so important to teach how to prevent that, right? Prepare from that. So no matter how strong we are in the Lord and our walk is with the Lord, you still got that to worry about, right? If you get put in that situation, you can all say, I'm never going to act, you know, I'll never do something immoral or make a bad decision or compromise. But, you know, we got to stand strong, right? We have to. And knowing where you are and where you stand ahead of time is certainly the way to be prepared for that. So why did Paul emphasize this? Paul emphasized this through all his ministry, because the early church, they faced tons of false teaching, right? It was only a few decades after Christ, and it was already everywhere, right? The false teaching. The church had to exercise discernment to preserve the true apostolic teaching. So Acts 17:11, you guys have heard, many of you probably heard of the Berean believers. They were commended because they tested even Paul's teaching. They questioned even him. You know, so, I mean, we are called to do that. So, Acts 17:11. Now, these were noble-minded. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So, the noble-minded practice of verifying messages with God's word is the model for discernment for churches, right, for us. So, the Bereans, just a quick background of the Bereans. They were ancient people from the city of Berea in Macedonia who were noble character. They received Paul's message with eagerness and diligently searched the Old Testament scriptures daily to verify that his teachings were true. The term Berean is now used to refer to a person who reads and examines the Bible diligently and critically to confirm the truth is being taught. So we should all be Berean, right? Bereans. They call that the Berean principle, which is should be a model for believers, examining all teaching, combating gullibility, and then eagerness and discernment would be the pillars or the main points of the Berean principle. So the key point here is the church has a God-given duty to preserve and proclaim truth. It must filter out lies and distortions, ensuring that what is taught and practiced aligns with Scripture. I mean, again, we know this, but we have got to practice it, right? We've got to think it through and practice it in everything we do in our walk with the Lord. That's how we glorify the Lord, which is our ultimate calling, right? In a sense, the church's integrity and mission, it depends on that. If you think about it, you have to have discernment. Without it, error spreads and the church loses its foundation. So, plenty of biblical commands to discern. And we'll go through a couple of them here. Many places in Scripture it commands us to do this. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, 20 through 22. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So, here Paul instructs the Thessalonians not to ridicule preaching or prophetic utterances. That's what they're talking about there, not prophets. This is teaching. This is public professing, which is what that the Greek would mean then. But also not to swallow teaching naively. So obviously you question it. We have this thing at work we do. It's what we call a lean manufacturing thing. When you're trying to eliminate waste in a process, you ask the question why 5 times. You sound like a little kid, obviously, it drives us nuts, right? All of us that have had kids, why? And I drive people nuts at work all the time. Why do you keep asking me? Because I've only asked it 3 times. You know, you always want to ask and drill down. So we should be doing that. I mean, ask why 5 times. Or you know, understand what you're trying to, what's being taught there in the Scripture. And we'll see, you know, what the ways to do that is here coming up. They were to carefully test or examine all things, sifting good teaching from the bad. So truth must be embraced and error rejected. This balance lies at the heart of discernment, which we value biblical preaching, yet we verify it against Scripture before blindly accepting it. And we should do that with anything, right? With anything. And you should always, blow it across Scripture, any kind of decision, any kind of fact, or anything that's going on in the world. So there's plenty of other verses. We'll just hit a couple of them. So 1 John 4:1. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out. So not every spiritual message or teacher is from God. He must discern source and content, or we must discern source and content, especially when there is a proliferation of false messages. Which that proliferation of false messages today, it grows exponentially with technology, right? And so it makes it even more difficult for us to discern without the Holy Spirit. Makes it impossible, really. So you got to have the Holy Spirit to help you with that. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Many of you have heard that, are familiar with that verse. Discernment grows with the spiritual maturity and practice. I mean, not all of us have been believers for 50 years, right? It takes practice. It's just like math in school, right? When we had to do the math, had to do the practice, had to practice. So we have to do the same thing. Knowing Scripture deeply trains us to distinguish right from wrong. Philippians 1, 9 through 10. That your love may abound in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. So Christian love isn't blind acceptance. It should abound alongside knowledge and discernment. So you can see those are just some main verses that, like I said, many of you have probably heard those before and studied them out. These verses establish that discernment is not optional, it's commanded. And that's what I hope you got out of those verses there. God desires his people to be both trusting and discerning, trusting his truth, but wary of any claims that deviate from it. Love and truth should go hand in hand, and that's one of the things I'm going to focus through this. Love must be guided by knowledge and discernment to choose what is truly best. Biblical discernment is totally tied to knowing Scripture well and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Who does what? The Holy Spirit illuminates the truth, right? Without the Holy Spirit, you can't really truly see the truth. So John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Again, John 16:13. So why discernment is vital, truth versus deception in the church. So having established what discernment is, which we've been talking about, we need to understand why it's so critical in the church. Simple answer, because truth is vital for salvation and spiritual health, right? And then, of course, error is deadly. That's why the most vile thing that one can do and why God has a special place, and the New Testament epistles talk about this quite a bit, for those who preach false doctrine on purpose, the heresy. Because there's nothing worse than leading people astray, leading the sheep astray, when they think they got it figured out. So obviously that's why it's such a high calling then for us to be discerning. The New Testament paints a picture of spiritual warfare in which the minds of believers are the battleground. So Satan's first tactic in the Garden of Eden, like we talked a minute ago, was deception, twisting God's words to entice Eve into disobedience. So again, Satan always comes as the light. He's always going to come. Deception's always going to come as a good thing. If a false teacher came in, or just somebody that was teaching a false heretical teaching doctrine, they're going to teach everything correct at first, right? It's going to be subtle, very, very, very subtle. You got a lot of these churches that have gone sideways now that it's not subtle anymore, but it was at one time. I'm sure Benny Hinn didn't just start out blowing on people, throwing them off the stage. I mean, I don't know, maybe he did, but you know how that is. So discernment matters because eternal truths are worth defending, and of course souls are at stake. So the church serves as that pillar of truth, mostly in part by identifying and rejecting lies that can corrupt the message of Christ. So what is the worst form of wickedness in the world? I kind of hit it a minute ago. Is it mass murder or cannibalism? That's pretty bad. Is it homosexuality? Is it abortion? Technically, the worst form of wickedness in the world is the perversion of God's truth. Scripture says that. It's the worst because once you've perverted God's truth, then you can no longer have a grasp on your behavior. And then it's all downhill from there. So it technically is the most wicked thing that can prevail in a man's heart, in a person's heart. So think about it. We lock people up for these other crimes, all the ones I've said and all the other things you can talk about. Well, we typically lock them up. We should be locking more people up right now with some things that are going on. We won't go there, but you guys know what I mean. I mean, typically we do lock people up for these types of crimes, but we let liars walk around getting off scot-free, really. But you think about how wicked what they're doing is. What's that? Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. I mean, you'd have to lock up half of Washington. You'd have to lock up the media and some others because they just do it with impunity, right? They don't even think about it. And that's more of a secular lie, obviously, but still, I mean, how many professing believers are duped by that, by all the lies of the world? So practicing discernment, I mean, how do we grow in it? How do we get to the next level where we need to be in it? Knowing that we should be discerning is one thing, but how do we actually do it? So how can an individual believer or church develop discernment? So we'll go through a couple things here. A few: deepen your knowledge of Scripture, obviously, first. That goes without saying. There is no shortcut to that. There is absolutely no shortcut to it. The foundation of all discernment is a mind saturated with God's Word. I mean, if you're not reading the Word of God every day, even if it's just one verse and you just sit there and stare at the wall thinking about that one verse for 20 minutes, do that. You got to get up and be disciplined enough to get up and or go to bed. I mean, whenever you do it, it doesn't have to be in the morning. But I will say, if you do it in the morning, your day is going to go a lot better. I mean, you guys all know that. I'm literally preaching to the choir. So Speaking of choir, how about Jay, man? Wasn't that great? I mean, they let the bass player sing. How cool is that? That's cool. I used to be a Deadhead, for many of you may not know that, but I don't know, some of you younger folks, Grateful Dead. I'm not real proud of a lot of it, but a lot of funny stories. But they had a bass, yeah, I was building my testimony from coast to coast for many years. But there was a, they had a bass player named Phil, and he sang like one song, and he sung it so bad. Box of Rain. Some of you older guys may know the song, Box of Rain. That's a Phil song. Well, there was always a hippie in the back going, "Let Phil sing." I was so tempted. "Let Jay sing," because he was the bass player. Anyway. But he was good. I mean, he always acts like he doesn't. He needs to get a microphone. He doesn't even have a microphone in his stand or where he stands. Okay, now I've completely lost where I'm at. Okay, pro tip. I have a pro tip here. Pro tip, consider following our church plan. This we're talking about biblical, regular biblical reading. One of the things is consider following our, read through the Bible in a year, which is why I was talking about Jay, because Jay was the one that organizes that. But it's a great plan. It's hard to keep on track with it, obviously, but don't get discouraged. Catch back up. It's not that hard to catch back up if you miss a day or two. But that's, you know, that's the one of the ways to make sure that you are in the Word every day. The more scripture you can collect from memory, the quicker you can evaluate a questionable claim against biblical teaching. Now, for me, that's hard. I got a lot of stuff going in and out of my mind, and a lot of times I need to download and delete cache in my head, right? And it's hard, and I kind of use that as an excuse, but we should be diligent in trying to memorize scripture, right? I mean, I've memorized a lot and I've forgotten so much, but it's important to do that. You know, and it, you know, I kind of feel like it's sometimes a cop-out, but a lot of times, and I know everybody in here can say the same thing, I know where that's at, I know it says that, and I can find it. You know, that's better than nothing. I mean, you know, let's get to where we can at least do that. And then we can use technology to pull out our phone and say, "Hey, Google, where's this?" Uh-oh, all of our phones are going to wake up now. Sorry. Hey, G. So seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in prayer. So that's the next thing. So when you're getting up and reading Scripture, you must do that in prayer too, right? You've got to incorporate prayer in that. So discernment is not purely an intellectual skill. It's also spiritual wisdom granted by God. So James 1:5 encourages, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. Prayer for wisdom and discernment should be regular, both for church leaders and members, for all of us that are part of the church, for all members, all believers. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, which we talked about a minute ago, and our anointing who teaches you about all things. 1 John 2:27. So this one, next one's a little maybe tough for some of us. Maintain a humble and teachable attitude. Humble. I mean, it's important. I mean, obviously, it's important. And it's something that as you grow in your walk with Christ, you're going to become more humble. It's impossible not to. Discernment requires this humility. If we approach every issue assuming we already know it all, we can actually miss what the truth is, right? That's why that's so important. Elevate teachings and cultural messages actively. So in practice, to test everything means we should develop a habit of asking questions. Questions like, does this idea align with Scripture? Where is this written? What does the Bible say about that particular topic? Whether it's a sermon, a Christian book, or a praise song, we should always run it through a biblical filter. And it's funny, I put praise song in here, but I'm getting in the truck to come here, and another weird fact about me is I'm a huge Huey Lewis fan. I don't listen to Huey Lewis all the time, but I love listening to him. And some random Huey Lewis song came on, and the first thing, the lyric was, I don't know the name of the song, but it said something about money is the root of all evil. Well, it's not money that is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. But just leaving those little things out just in a secular song. Anyway, that I just thought I'd bring that up. It's weird that happened on the way here. Learn from faithful teachers and church history. God has given the church pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. We learned that in Ephesians 4:11. Sitting under solid Bible-centered teachers will greatly aid your discernment. And I think we have that here. We certainly have that here, right? And I think that makes such a difference with our fellowship here. Make use of the collective wisdom of the church, past and present. Which, I think we do that, right? We have such a tight fellowship here. If you encounter a confusing doctrine, see how respected evangelical teachers or others would interpret those scriptures. Ask around, right? I mean, don't feel like you've got to know everything. Reach out and leverage other people that may know. So guard your heart and mind. This is another one. Discernment isn't only about evaluating external ideas. It's also about checking your own motivations and thoughts. And that's where the conviction comes in, right? If you're not walking with the Lord, if you're in one of those valleys, it's going to be real hard to be good at discerning, right? That's a blessing that you're not going to have. And I know we've all been there, so I know most of you would know that. Balance discernment with love. This is a big one. It's not the same as having a critical or judgmental spirit, okay? Judge with love. Just because you don't agree with everything I say doesn't necessarily mean I'm wrong. It might mean I am wrong, or it might mean there's going to be things that we're not going to get right when we get to heaven, right? We're going to understand that. It's the pillars that we need to make sure that we're sound on, right? The gospel message, the Trinity, the deity of Christ. There's a lot of other different types of doctrines. But when you come across something that you don't quite understand or it doesn't quite jive with what your understanding is, it happens. It happens with all the time, you know. But lovingly seek out the answer or come together in a loving way. Don't just, that's not right. I'm not going to come and listen to you again ever. That's heretical. That's not the way to do it. We need to approach that and to defend truth in love. In fact, Ephesians 4:15 says to do that. Some Christians, in reacting against error, fall into an opposition or an opposite sin of harshness or divisiveness, which is sin too. So that's why we must do it in love. Let all you do be done in love, right? 1 Corinthians 14:16 or 13. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Sorry, I got them backwards. All right, so apply discernment to daily life. So this is kind of the application, and we're getting close on time, so we'll start to wrap it up. We'll wrap up by looking at examples of how discernment guides our daily life. Personal decisions. Every day we make choices about what? Entertainment, relationships, use of time. How often do we squander time, right? I mean, we do. Even the most organized of us all, we still squander time. Because if it's not for our edification or glorifying the Lord and our walk with the Lord, it is, you're squandering the time, right? I mean, really. You can praise Him when you're at work. I mean, we should be doing that, right? So you shouldn't be compartmentalizing things anyway. So discernment helps us apply biblical principles to these choices. A discerning Christian, will filter what they watch or read. Is this promoting a worldview or values opposed to Scripture? Let me ask you this: as you've grown stronger in your walk with the Lord, do you not watch things you used to watch that you just don't want to anymore? Music, I mean, the same thing. I mean, and I think Conrad or somebody said that the other day, that how many times you started listening to a song and you thought, it's no big deal. And you start listening to the words and you're like, I don't know about that. And we turn it off. That's good when that happens, right? I mean, that's good. That's showing growth. That's assurance of your salvation. It's assurance of your growth. But that's where we want to get to, right? And to get to that takes prayer, takes study. It takes being in the Lord 100% of the time. So that's hugely important in our personal decisions. Moral and ethical issues. You know, we're all going to be faced with something at some point where we have to make a choice. And again, that's what I was saying up front, is that day where, heaven forbid, you have to make a decision to, feed your kid or do something you shouldn't do. You know, I hope we never have to get to that point, right? But, you know, if you have to make a decision like that, you've got to get it grounded in the truth. And so you need to know the truth. So the world's standards are always shifting. Hebrews 5:14, though, back to it, reminds us there is an objective good and evil. Discernment enables us to navigate complex ethical issues by leaning on biblical truth rather than the cultural norms. And those cultural norms are getting thrown at us more and more and more and more today, right? So again, choosing teachers and resources, we talked about that a little bit already. Today, Christians have access to countless books, YouTube videos, and YouTube preachers and conferences. You know, there's so much good stuff, but there is also then so much bad stuff. So we got to be able to discern that. But when you're looking at it, you know, you want to ask questions like, do they affirm the core tenets of the faith, like we talked about? Jesus' deity, the Trinity, salvation by grace, authority of Scripture. Do they handle Scripture in context, or do they twist verses? And here's the other one, really an important one. What is the fruit of their ministry? I mean, people like Billy Graham and MacArthur, John MacArthur, they did this for, 80 years? Maybe not 80 years, but 60 years. And no major scandals or anything. I mean, you know, they lived, they weren't perfect. They were sinners just like we are. But, you know, that holds a lot right there. So you should always look for that in your teachers as well. So within the church community, discernment should be exercised in our congregational life. If someone in a Bible study shares an interpretation that seems off, a discerning group lovingly checks it in context. Okay, so I wanted to kind of end with that to make sure we're doing it lovingly, checking it in context lovingly. So one of the things, and I think we're getting pretty close, and this, what I'm going to say is probably going to go on for a while, but I mentioned this the other day in our Sunday school class, and it got a lot of people talking, and some of you guys weren't in there. I wanted to kind of bring it up. Artificial intelligence, it's coming. It's here. It's here. And I was a little shocked by how many hadn't really thought about it, how many of the people that I talked to haven't really thought about it. Just as a show of hands, has anybody really thought about AI and what it's going to mean to my life? Good number. And we just need to think about how it's going to affect us. I don't know. I mean, we don't know. We need to discern that, right? We need to find that, you know, seek that. But it's going to change. It's going to change things. And it could be today, tomorrow, it could be 3 years from now, it could be 10 years from now. But they say once it gets to a certain point, it's going to exponentially change the world. I mean, literally, I hope I'm wrong, but you could literally have humanoid robots walking around Walmart in 5 years. I mean, seriously, that's not a stretch. Does that blow your mind or what? You know, how you get from the old days to what you always see in the movies that were just seem so far-fetched, well, that's how. That's how you use AI to do that. They would use AI to do that. So I say all that to just say this. Think about it now, because it's going to affect everyone in here differently. Think about it ahead of time. It's going to change things, like it's going to take jobs away. There's going to be a lot of people not working. You know, if you're in the middle of your career, it could affect you, depending on what you do for a living, obviously. But, you know, those types of things are going to be similar. It could lead to a cultural norms that are similar to what we faced in 2000, 2001, with, you know, businesses closing and people out of work and stuff. We didn't see that coming. We see this coming, you know, so we should start discerning what it's going to mean for us. And then, of course, you got the factor of it's going to be a lot easier to fake the truth, right? So, I mean, they're already getting pretty good at that right now. So, artificial general intelligence is what you don't hear a lot about right now yet. But for some of those of you who know, AGI is when it changes everything. And again, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not worried about it because we know who's in charge, right? We know who's got a plan. It's all part of his plan. It's not surprising God. Not surprising the Lord at all. It's just a matter of knowing how we react to that, right? And how we use it for good and how we continue to grow the kingdom. God's going to do that, right? We know that. But we are called to discern and be the ones who are going to be there to stand for the truth. And we can't do that without discerning the truth in love, right? All right, cool. Any questions? Sorry, I didn't really mean that. I did this in Sunday school. I kind of ended with the AI thing and it kind of freaked everybody out. Sorry.
You know, in Sunday school, when Sherry read that thing from social
Right, exactly.
Recognized it.
Yep, yep. Right.
So stay in the Word.
Stay in the Word, absolutely. You have to. Again, it's important to memorize the Scripture. It is. We know that. If you can, do it. But at least study the Word enough where you're meditating on it, you understand the concepts of what you're reading and what you're learning. And if you don't know, ask, right? There's plenty of people around here that know, that would know, okay? All right, any other questions or anything? I guess we're doing pretty good on time. All right. You never know how, it's always hard to kind of gauge the time up here because I don't get another. If I don't get it done, my OCD really drives me nuts if I don't get to the application. I'll have to stay up here all night. Okay, all right, well, let me close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you humbly. Lord, we just thank you for this time of fellowship, this time around your word, this time of teaching. Lord, it is so special to be a part of this fellowship here. I'm so humbled to even be considered for anything in serving your kingdom through our wonderful church here in First Baptist Geneva. Lord, I just pray, though, that we know bad times could be coming and difficult times could be coming individually for each one of our situations as well as culturally. Lord, we know how it ends, right? We've seen it. We know we're victorious, but we know that there's an in-between there before that happens, potentially, that could make things pretty tough. But Lord, I pray so hard that, Lord, everyone in here understands the truth or the importance of knowing your truth, Lord, and standing firm in our faith for your truth in this world. And as we continue as a church to grow, we know Satan is going to try to get in. He's going to try to find a crack somewhere. So we have got to put on our armor. We have got to be ready for that as a church. And you know, if there's something that's bothering someone, Lord, that they take the right steps of reconciliation, that they do it lovingly. You know, there's no backbiting or anything, Lord, that so many bad churches that have bad theology that deal with that stuff. So, Lord, we're so blessed that we've not had to worry about that here. But, Lord, again, we know Satan's MO, and he rules this world, so we have got to guard against that. So, Lord, I pray for all of our leadership, our servants, our saints, that we can do the thing that we're called to do, and that's to glorify and honor you in all we do.